Good evening. Let's get this going here. I was informed there would be no PowerPoint tonight, so thus you have no PowerPoint tonight. All right. I know you don't wear a mic in the evening, but you have a nice loud voice. Is my mic on, by the way?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Would you read for, not yet, but really soon, a minute or two, Ephesians 2:19. And we're going to ask this question, just kind of get, since I don't have a, I'm going to use this clock, and it's not reliable. So, Bill, if you have something to throw when it gets close, you know. I've got about 33 minutes before 5 till 6. So, here we go. The question to open with is this, that how much influence did Timothy have on the church? How much influence did Timothy have on individual lives back in the first century? And a lot of you are going to know this, but let's just look at a few scriptures. I'm going to read two short ones, and then I'll have you read Ephesians 2:19. So we're going to go first to 1 Timothy 1:3, asking the question, how much influence did Timothy exert on lives, Christian lives? 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul speaking to Timothy says, as I urge you upon my departure to Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrine. So we know this from this passage and others that Timothy was a preacher at Ephesus some of the time. He also traveled with Paul sometimes and was used in a meaningful way by Paul, but he was a preacher. So significant in his influence there. Same chapter, 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul to Timothy. This command I entrust you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. So that's pretty significant. Timothy actually had some prophetic utterances made about him. I mean, that tells us some significance there. And Paul says, I want you to use those prophecies previously made concerning and in accordance with them. So significant again. Then Philippians 2:19, Mike, we'll read that to us, Philippians 2:19 through 22, four verses.
Okay.
If you will.
I heard you say Ephesians verse
7. I probably did.
Okay.
But Philippians, my bad, Philippians 2, starting in 19 through verse 22.
Certainly. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father.
That's a pretty powerful saying. Paul, the apostle, saying, he had a lot of helpers. I have no one else of like spirit or kindred spirit, speaking of Timothy, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Whoa. Timothy has a great heart and a huge, important work before him or works before him. So, and I'm coming at our title today from an obtuse angle a little bit. But I would ask you this. Preacher, had prophetic utterances made about him, served Paul in a very special way. How many people today in the world are Christians directly from Timothy's influence? If he only converted maybe 10, and I would assume this is early on that he had a lot more than that, but he only converted 10. Some of them would spread the gospel, some probably would not. And then all the saints that he encouraged when he was a preacher, and then the men that he stopped speaking strange doctrine, certain men. Who knows? Are there 500 people in the world today, as the gospel spread, directly from beginning with Timothy? Are there 5,000? I mean, I don't know. It's one of Andrew's questions. You know, you ask this, but it's a thought question. My guess would be, and that's all that it is, that there are many people alive today who were the Lord's children because of Timothy. But let's back up. Where did it all start? Again, those of you that are Bible students will know the answer, but it 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul again, in his second letter to Timothy, says this, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Can't say for sure, but it seemed to me it's implied that the faith started with the grandmother first, passed on to her daughter Eunice, but both of them passed it on to Timothy. And all that to say this, what does the Bible have to say about grandparents? Because I'm looking back there, okay, Gary's a little too young, but the day is coming. Your son Stephen has children, right? Yes. So you're a grandmother. The majority of our crowd here, a grandparent, but it doesn't matter, because this sermon is intended for everybody, including Cyrus and Esther, because chances are great. William isn't listening, I get that. Chances are great that you'll be a grandparent someday. So you need to know what the Bible has to say, but not just what it has to say, the tremendous influence that even when you're old and gray, if God lets you live that long, the influence you can have on lots of people in the future, because all the people that are alive today, and I'm assuming there are some that were converted because of Timothy, were really converted because of Timothy's grandmother, grandparents. We have a tremendous work before us, really critical. And I look, and those of you that I know, and most of you, I'm sure you have this mindset already. I see it in your lives. But I have heard too many times, and not that long ago, about people who get older, like me, that feel lost. They feel not as useful as they used to be. And how many grandchildren do you have? Have you counted them recently? Can you count that high?
Just
and greats, grandchildren and greats.
12 or 13 grandchildren and almost the same number of greats.
So 26 descendants from this man and his wife, 26. And those that they lovingly took into their family. Man, our influence is substantial, but what if you choose not to be a grandparent, not to get married and have children someday? There are a lot of kids that come to our assembly here in Sumner that need grandparents or aunts and uncles or mentors or adults that just show a little bit of concern. I can think of 6, and there may be more, but 6. We have the 5 that Marilyn is raising in dire need of adult loving attention. I mean, in great need. And if you've read anything about children with that background, and Shelley's grandson, Kellen, and, you know, they've had bumpy backgrounds, really rough. And kids tend to not do too well with that upbringing unless there's some intervention by people like us. And, you know, it just begins with learning their names, even just a couple of them, and greeting them. Hey, You're William, aren't you? How you doing, William? I'm so-and-so. I'm Mike. Maybe take it a step or two further. In a few weeks, if you're really brave, hey, you like fishing, or you like bowling, or you like checkers, or would you like to come over for lunch, or whatever. Kellen said he'd go out to ice cream with me, but we have had trouble meeting up. I'm just saying, grandparent or surrogate grandparent, aunt or uncle, the influence we can have is tremendous. And I know, although I know the stats for kids that are coming from bumpy backgrounds, I also have read about those where someone just stepped into their life and loved them a little bit, that have turned into having significant lives, powerful lives, incredible lives full of influence, like Timothy. So this is for all of us. Don't care if you're a grandparent or not. I think the concept applies. So what does the Bible say about... Let me just read my notes here. I used to look at this screen right here. I want to read a couple of quotes. They're not from the Bible. They're just silly, but I liked them. And I thought it might be nice, acknowledging they're not from the Word of God, but four quotes. The two are unknown authors. Grandmas are moms with a lot of frosting. Grandfathers are just antique little boys. If I had known, this is from Lois Wise, I looked her up, and she was somebody significant to somebody else. If I had known how wonderful it would be to have grandchildren, I'd have had them first. And the last one by a guy named Gene Perret, he was director of some TV program. He says, an hour with your grandchildren, and by the way, I'm going to read a little bit of scientific research that backs this up, but an hour with your grandchildren can make you feel young again. Anything longer than that, and you start to age quickly. So anyway, wanted to share those with you. I thought they were fun and would be okay to talk about it. So grandparenting. Extremely significant. In 2006, I wasn't able to find the recent stats, but 16 years ago in America, 6.1 million grandparents, that's a lot of us, 6.1 million grandparents had grandchildren living with them that were younger than 18. That's like, I forget now, 6.1, like, a chunk of our population, is that 20%? Anyway, a lot of people with lots of influence on the kids living at home. Marilyn's one, five with her, Brenneman's are another, one with us. And it's our distinct and intentional goal to write on Ari's little heart to know God and to pray together, not just at mealtime, and to talk about it. Well, Ari, who made your pet frog? And you know how I'm just so grateful that God gave you to us. But 6.1 back then, I'm sure it's more now, grandparents helping raise grandkids, big job. But even outside of that, those of you that have them are and that don't live with you are significant. So let's look at Proverbs 17:6. When I told Andrew I was going to preach on this, he threw that one out without even looking it up, and it's really good. It's Proverbs 17:6, and it reads, grandchildren, I wish I could circle this on the overhead, but grandchildren are the crown of old men. Since they're old, and since they're grandchildren, they're at least granddad or grandmas. This is poetry here. Could be great grandmas and granddads. Do you have any great grandchildren? No? Okay. Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. So we don't necessarily talk like it, but the glory of sons is their fathers. So we have three parallelism. We have grandchildren and sons, both offspring, young offspring. We have fathers and old men, another one. And we have crown and glory. Grandchildren are the crown of old men, which is a glory. And the glory of sons is their fathers. So what it's saying here, God is saying that the glory flows both ways. It flows from the grandchildren to the grandparents. Grandchildren are the crown of old men. And it means ladies too. And the glory of sons is the fathers. So your father, and I've watched you, and by the way, this word father can mean male ancestor, can mean grandfather, great-grandfather, can mean herald. They're your glory, which means I've watched you hug your granddad without him asking you. It means that your fathers and your older fathers are your heroes and mentors and special. And I watch you and I see how you love them. And so the glory flows both ways, from the grandchildren to the grandparents, and the parents and grandparents, it flows towards the children, both ways. And in Psalms 127:3, it says that children are the gift of God. So they are our glory. And let's see here. Just a thought, because it's talking about old men, that older men have, in God's design, old men have preeminence in the family. They were to receive special honor, as were older ladies and widows and women who are just older than ourselves. We're to treat them as mothers and younger ones as sisters. But God gave a lot of importance, preeminence, to older people. And I see it in you, Cyrus, so I know you have it. And Cora, I haven't watched you as much. But I see the godly young woman you are, and I'm convinced you do the same. In fact, Lisa told me how you help at home and this kind of thing. So that's a critical part of God's plan. So let's see here. The glory of the sons is their fathers. I talked about being mentors and a guide on the right path. You're proud of your parents. I know you are as well. And children want to spend time with them. Parents and hopefully especially sometimes those that don't have to discipline them as often, the grandparents, they want to spend time with us. I sure did. I look back, man, I couldn't wait to be with my grandparents. And so parents are a glory to the sons, perhaps except during the time of adolescence, and you're getting close to that, but we'll overlook the years when the young think they know everything, and I'm sure you guys are exceptions anyway. So there's a great importance on the family and the church, huge importance on the family and the church. You read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, verse 12, that elders and deacons, and it means their wives too. It doesn't work without the wives' help. Elders, deacons, and their wives, they're to manage their children in the right manner. It's huge. The importance of the family impacts the church in a huge way, and the church impacts our society in a great way. But if all we do is just impact those around us in our worship, that's still significant right there. So honoring ancestors, meaning old geezers like you, Bill, I'll be there someday, and appreciating the offspring both ways brings meaning and dignity to life and to the family. 1 Timothy 5:4, this should be more for Cyrus and Esther when she gets older, and Cora, but it says, 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow has grandchildren or children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to the parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Also talks about one who doesn't take care of his family, and can't quote it, and I should be able to, is worse than an unbeliever. But Cyrus, again, to you, Cora, and the other kids, that right now you're you're blessed because you have active grandparents and healthy, but there may be a day when you have to push your grandpa around in a wheelchair. And you have, let's see, I don't know, is your father still alive? No? Okay. But you may push this guy around in a wheelchair someday. Or not that, maybe just mow his lawn. But there's a time when we're, as children, my mom's still alive, we're to make a return to our parents, Paul says, to those of us that have that blessing and opportunity. I had this down in my notes. I think we're going to run out of time too soon, but I was just going to ask you not to raise a hand, but just how about your own experience? How many of you, and maybe you can share something with me after the lesson over, how many of you remember some influence, some beautiful times you had with your grandparents, some mentoring you received from them, some learning you got from them? Because certainly playing in my mind on that subject, they were great influences to me. So more about what the Bible says about grandparents. This doesn't use the word grandparents, but you'll see that it fits. Psalm 92, starting in verse 14. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 14. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. That's righteous people. Verse 14, they will still yield fruit in their old age. They should be full of sap and very green. I mean vibrant, alive, the old, in their old age, to declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, I love my grandparents, and they were positive influences for me. None were members of the church, but very moral people, which was common back then. But I remember being especially impressed with Lisa's father, my father-in-law. I met him when he was younger than I am now, in his mid-50s. Seems strange. What impressed me about him, because this says they will still yield fruit in their old age. Leroy, who preached until the month that he died, he was still yielding fruit. He was humble. He could take advice from younger people. He wanted to grow and learn, and he wasn't stuck in his ways. Leroy, maybe you're right, but I don't see it that way. What about this verse? And he was open, but he impacted people all the time till the day that he died, really. Even in his hospital bed on his last day, he impacted the nurse, his son, and me by the things, I wasn't even there, but by the things that went on in his last moments, still yielding fruit in his old age. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:9 to grandparents here. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Keep portion this phrase. Make them known to your children and your children's children. He's telling them to remember things and pass them on even to the grandchildren. And what a difference that makes in the things I learned from my grandparents. Wonderful. I believe that the highest priority, I think the Bible teaches this in principle, that the highest priority for grandparents, for people who have never married, the highest priority for everybody is to lead a life that's pleasing to God. But the impact that has on the grandchildren, because they are watching, even if they don't know they're watching, what they notice how we live, how we react to our challenges and other people. And the younger generation is watching grandparents and everybody. And we need to live our lives centered around glorifying God for their sake as much as for our own. Am I doing on time here? To the young people, I've already talked to you a little bit regarding grandparents and older people. We live in a culture right now that promotes youthfulness and denies the importance of the elderly. It just does. But the Bible teaches differently. To honor, respect, and learn from and glean from those that are much older than yourself. It says, and I highlight it, and I can't read it because the highlighting is too dark, but it's in Leviticus 13:32, I think, or 19:32. It says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear God and fear your God. I am the Lord." So that even applies to Harold, to people that are older or younger, Gary, Morgan, to ride before the gray-headed and show them great respect because that's God's design for how we live our lives. I've only got a few minutes left, about eight, but I got this parenthood article. I think it's the name of a magazine, and the title, and I would have put it up on the overhead for you, if you wanted to look it up, but it's titled, Children Need Their Grandparents More Than We Realize. And then it goes into the science, and it tells about some research done and studies done, and I'm only going to glean it, but it says, the science is in and the results are clear. Loving grandparents make a big difference in the grandchildren's life. Well, you have your Bible, so you know that to be true, but here's just a couple of instances. Grandparents encourage happiness. So they, in their studies, they found this, and it's significant, that when grandparents and adult grandchildren have a significant relationship, the greater the relationship affinity between the two groups reduced depressive symptoms in both of them. So in other words, less depression among young adult grandchildren and among the grandparents. It affects both sides, as that proverb we read earlier says, the crown and glory, they flow both ways. Life lessons are par for the course. So meaning, and then I won't even read it this time, but just meaning that we do what Deuteronomy 4:9 says, don't forget what you've seen, what you've learned from God, what you've grown from, but you pass that on, those life lessons to your grandchildren, and that enhances their lives a lot. Both parties benefit in the relationship, grandchildren and grandparents. Grandparents that babysit their grandkids actually live longer. But not only that, my mom, you know, she didn't have a cell phone until she was, I don't know, 87 or 86. And no, too complicated. But her children and grandchildren said, Mom, let me just show you a few things. You don't have to know everything. Let's just show you. And my mom now can use a cell phone and uses it and enjoys it. And the grandparents can learn from the grandchildren. It flows both ways. And obviously, grandchildren learn from their grandparents. But grandparents that babysit the grandkids live longer. The sense of stability, not just for the six children that I mentioned that attend our assemblies that need adult attention, just to know somebody cares for them. Not just for them, but even stable kids, Samuel's children, they need a sense of stability, and this world is so crazy right now. I can't imagine it would be to be Cora's age, and things are changing so fast and not always in a good way. I go, pooh, I don't know how I would have handled those things. But we give them that sense of stability. Look, there's a woman devoted, the only true thing, the only thing that's trustworthy, to God Himself. And they learn that stability. We're just tremendous influence. In this article, and it goes into, it says that the younger generation learns to laugh at little things. They learn that hopefully from us. Not everybody does that, but you know, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said, rejoice, Philippians 4:4. And that means regardless of the circumstances, and that is such a critical lesson to learn, because I've always worked with kids, you know, coached soccer for 7 years, lots of Bible classes, youth group for 11 years. I watched them, and some of them don't get the message, the right message. A lot of them, not, I don't want to say a lot, but too many of them believe that circumstances dictate if we should be happy or not. And that's a false doctrine. They don't. Stability in God, the blessing from Him, those will give us the reason to be able to rejoice always. And if we laugh at the little things, if we drop our cell phone worth $1,000 and it breaks and we throw a hissy fit, they learn that. But when they say, oh, my granddad broke something really expensive, and he says, well, forget what the Bible saying would be, but lots of them, right? You can't take it with you, and thief, rust, moth, those things destroy. We don't like it, but too bad, and we laugh it off. We say, that isn't going to change my joy in life. And they learn that from the parents, but also from the grandparents. I'm going to end with, skip a few things and end with Deuteronomy 4:9. We read it already. And then just a statement. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Keep your soul diligently. Make them known to your children and your children's children. So having fun with your grandchildren is great. But there's a much bigger blessing, and that's if we can lead them to the Lord, like Lois helped Timothy come to the Lord. That's Amen. The greatest joy and blessing of all, children Amen. And grandchildren. That is our lesson for tonight. Thank you so much. Blessing to you, grandparents and future grandparents. At this time, if you have a spiritual need, let us know what it is while we stand and sing song number 295.